It's just when I'm sitting there and I need a book to read and I need something to distract my mind and stuff. I know people, my son, I am one of the things that I am happiest about in life is that those are some of the things that my son has chosen for hobbies and that he really, really, really loves to enjoy them. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite things to do is go fishing with my son. That's one of my favorite things to do in the summertime. And I love to sit there on the bank and read a book while he fishes. And I get the excitement of him catching the fish and seeing the fish come in, but I don't have to sit there with the hook and line all day and stuff. It's wonderful because I get like the best of both worlds, from my opinion, and I love it. But one of my, a fond memory of mine was fishing. And this happened when I was 17. So this was 23 years ago. And it was a nice morning before summer camp started. And Dave and Joyce's son-in-law said, "Let's go fishing." And I said, "Okay." And he said, "Let's go out early in the morning." I was like, "All right." And my mom didn't, you know, I was gone for the day. So my mom was happy and everything. So their son-in-law took me fishing, me and my friend Jared fishing. It was a great time. I really enjoyed being out there with Jared and Don, two of my great friends still. And I can remember we headed up to Dave Jenks' house. And I remember Don has a motor that just goes 1,000 miles a minute. And so he had to stop in and say hi to Dave as he was coming back from the garbage truck, and Dan, and we had to go get in the pond up there by his house. And we went fishing. So we were fishing all morning. We were catching fish. And it was great. We were catching fish. But Don, it kept getting to be about lunchtime, and Don wasn't going to miss lunchtime. And so what he did, and he didn't want to leave the pond either. So mid-morning, his wife, Lori, Dave and Joyce's daughter, came out to kind of check on us. And Don's going, Lori, come here. And Lori's going, "Don, what are you up to?" And he goes, "Lori, it's getting to be close to lunchtime. We're hungry." He said, "Could you bring us some food?" And she said, sure. And so he sends her off and run and deliver. We got pizza delivered on the boat by Lori. This is in the days before cell phones and everything. And so we spent all morning, all day, all night. I think I was sunburned by the end of the day. And it was a great time. But Don would want to get there in one spot and just sit there as long as we could and get as many fish as we could. And as we thought about that, I was thinking about, and I was remembering that morning. I can remember that we'd get there, and we'd get in a good spot where Don would want to stay, and the boat would start drifting. Then we'd have to row back to where we were, and the boat would start drifting, and we'd have to row back where we were. And Art was talking about being out on the boat tonight. And our life has storms. We have a tendency to drift. Sometimes we might think that we need to get out of the boat for a meal. But the truth of the matter is that the Bible says that hope is an anchor for your soul. And that's so important. And let's look at this key verse that I've got in Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. Hebrews 6, 18 and 19. It says that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. You understand that in this life, Christ is better. This morning we talked about how the people wanted the manna in the wilderness that Moses had provided. Well, Jesus comes along and says, I am the bread of life. If Moses provided manna in the wilderness, Jesus Christ is superior. He is the bread of life that you can count on, you can hope in. If in the Old Testament, if they sacrificed sins, sacrificed animals for their sins, Jesus Christ once and for all finished the job when he shed his blood on Calvary, entering behind the veil, and the veil was torn so that our sins could be forgiven. And because Christ is better, he's a better priest, he's a better prophet, he's a better king. He's better than the angels. He's better for us. He's better, he's better, he's better. And that's an anchor that we can hang on to. It is impossible for God to lie. You know, I hear a lot of things. And sometimes you feel like if someone's lips are moving, they're lying. You know what I mean? And whenever they speak, whenever they open their mouths, out comes a lie. You get out into the world and it's so frustrating because you so often don't know what to believe and what's going on. When you begin to hear about people whose lives are falling apart and they have no hope, it's just lie after lie after lie. You turn on the television, you feel like you're being lied to. And you come home, you listen to a kid talking about their homework, and you feel like they're being lied to. But isn't it a great consolation, very soothing, to know that when God speaks, and when he says, I've taken care of your sin, you have an eternal hope and anchor for the soul. And so sometimes in this world, you're going to want to be pushed away from the cross, pushed away from the empty grave, pushed away from the words of Jesus, but you got to hang on tight and always come back to that hope. It's so important that we're in church each and every Sunday. I think there's a lot of people that today they think, oh yeah, I love God. I love Jesus Christ. And I listen to messages when I can, and I have my faith, and I talk to people about my faith. But when they start drifting away from the church, get farther and farther away from the anchor. Our hope's in Jesus Christ. We have hope because no matter how hard this world gets, we have Jesus Christ. I hope, and I'm trying to use the word so appropriately. I have hope that if really dark days were to come, the thing that you would latch onto and that you would hang on to is that you have eternal hope in Jesus Christ. When you feel like your world's falling apart, your hope's in Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's really discouraging to talk to people. This world is coming unglued. And everything's falling apart around them. And you just wonder, what advice can you give them? I'm so glad that there are people that I know, people that attend this church, people who are my friends, who have been down some dark roads. Because sometimes when I hear about people talking about their addiction and their alcoholism, I can't relate to them. But I'm glad I know people that do, and I'm glad I know people that can say, real and true hope is found in Jesus Christ. And you can take the cross, and it can be dug into the ground. And it's anchored by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you can't move that. It is finished. And it's a source that you can go back to, and you can go back to, and you can go back to. Let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Romans 15 and verse 13. Romans 15 and verse 13. It says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Maybe one of the things that I find kind of interesting is, does anybody know the scientifically smartest bird out there? Do you know what the smartest bird is? The crow. The raven. Scientifically proven that they can use one tool to get to another tool to be able to allow to use it to provide food for them. They're very smart. And I've read things about that. I've seen things about that. And one of the experiments that they did with a crow is that they fed the crow this food every day. And so the crow knew where to come and get his food. And so one day they put the food down in a glass of water. And the crow knew that the food was there, but he couldn't get his mouth down in there enough to reach the food. So you know what that crow did? They put some stones there too. That crow would go over and would pick up the stones and bring them over and drop them in the glass. And go over and pick up a stone and come and drop it in a glass. They say not even, you know, they talk about intelligence of animals and stuff. They say not even a monkey can figure out a problem like this. And they go over and they pick up a stone and they put it in a glass. And all the while, the water begins to come up and up and up and brings the food up until the crow can get the food. Isn't that kind of neat? And they're an amazing, amazing bird. And I was thinking about this. It says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy, and that you may abound." You know, we need hope in our lives. We need it. It's very, 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 very important. We need to be assured that we know that we are going to heaven. We watched a little bit of a video about Jehovah's Witness this morning. And they don't have an assurance that they're going to heaven. Now, they also don't believe in a literal place called hell. They lack hope. And if we're going to go out and we're going to witness to a lost and dying world, we need to abound in hope. You need to know 100% that because of your relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to heaven when this world is done. Heaven is your home, and you're 100% sure about it. You ever bought a home before? Boy, going through the process. I know the Bullens. You guys are in the. You're right in the middle of that right now. But when you're going through the process, it's kind of tricky. Like one day you think this is your home, and the next day this falls through, and here, okay. And then an inspection fails, and it's just up in the air until you're there, and you walk in the door, and you got the keys. It ought not to be about our heavenly home. Our hope, because we know Jesus Christ, is that we're going to spend eternity with Him, and nobody can take that away from you. We need to be full. We need to abound in hope. The source of hope is grace. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 16, it says, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every word and work." So we need hope. We need to be able to take our anchor and set it in the ground and be unmovable. And the only way we can do that, the only way we can have that kind of hope, is by the grace of God. It's a gift, not something that we've earned. In the end, our works don't get us to heaven. In the end, it's not any good thing that we've done, but it's the Lord. It says right there in verse 16, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope." Hope came through Jesus Christ. And hope brings us joy. Hope brings us joy. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. Hope brings joy. There's a lot of people in this world who need joy today. There's a lot of people that are kind of walking around without a smile on their face. You know what brings a smile to my face is when I hear what God does in people's lives. And He has definitely changed my spirit. And I hope He's changed your spirit in this life too. Today, as I was sitting there getting ready for church, I just heard Art Eshelman laughing over there. You know, I looked over there and I thought, we know that we call Art the teenager in the group. But it's just so pleasant to hear someone coming to church and laughing. We talk about this group that works together here. And they laugh. They have a good time. They enjoy their time together. Camaraderie of Christians. I had many smiles brought to my face this weekend as I visited some people and they told me about their lives and some of the things that had happened. But if we have hope in Jesus Christ, it brings us joy. In verse 9 of Romans chapter 12, it says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer." I know my day. And I bother my wife about this. This often. When I hear crude humor that's in the world all the time, I just want to like crawl back and like claw my way out of the room. I don't like it. It's not fun. And I just know what that kind of life brings and what it leads to and the damage. And I don't feel comfortable in the situation. When I hear people talking about their wild parties and drinking, I just want to like run and hide. And it makes me very, very uncomfortable. I don't like hearing kids talk about it. I don't like hearing adults talk about it. But what really, really brings joy to my heart and to my life is when I sit around and with my friends and I talk about heaven. And I talk about what God can do to change lives. And when I hear what God's doing, that brings real rejoicing. Hope makes my day a little bit better. And thinking about Christ can bring a smile to my face. I hope that in the morning there's some things that you make sure that you purpose in your heart to start your day off with. Start your day off with prayer. No matter what, you should have enough time in your morning to start your day off with prayer. Me and my wife have had a long practice where we start our day off with prayer. Lately, because I know she's been up late at night, I pray for her that she'll get a couple extra minutes of sleep and for her day. I look forward to a day when, very soon I hope, where we start to get, you know, where she's not really exhausted from being up at night and I can start doing that with her again. But I always pray with her or for her in the morning. And spend some time in God's Word. You need some, even if your Bible reading is at night. Okay, you and your wife get together at night or you and your husband get together at night and you read the Bible or you have your own personal Bible. Just even if it's just a verse, just take the scripture of the month and start your day off with that. You got time for that in the morning. And start your day off with a song in your heart that directs you about heaven, about God. It brightens your day. Start my day off like that and it brings me joy. And there's no other way I'd rather start my day. I love it when, even as we're getting ready, the last couple mornings, I'll catch my daughter singing the Christian songs along with me. And I say, hey, this is exactly what we need. And if we have real hope in Jesus Christ, it brings us boldness. It brings us boldness. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 12 says, therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. So because we have hope in, you know, I'm going to heaven, can't wait. So it makes you want to tell people about it, right? If you know you're going on a cruise, you're going to tell people about, unless maybe it's this week. You might be stuck on that cruise or something. But if you're excited about going on vacation, you tell people about it. If you know for certain you got a new home locked in and you know you're moving, you tell people about it because you're excited. We've got a new home where the streets are made of gold and we get to spend forever with Jesus Christ. So tell people about it. We're excited about it. Hope brings boldness. And our hope is laid up in heaven. Let's look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verses 4 and 5 say, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also to the whole world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you, since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Our hope is laid up, it's up there in heaven. And so today, if you're having a rough day, you're a little discouraged, if you're not sure about this week or you're not sure about tomorrow, remember, heaven's your home. And this world's just temporary. It's okay. It's all right. This world is just temporary. So, if you feel like your house is falling down around you, remember, God's working on a better one, right? It's kind of a good thing. And if your health isn't the greatest, and your body's falling apart, remember, you've got hope that God's got a better one for you. If you're tired of the sin, and this is the big one, because if you're tired, I think we can live with a home that has some problems. I think we can. I think we can live with some aches and pains, and we can get through those. But the thing that tires and is a weight that's carrying around, and we get so tired of it, is the real spiritual problems that this world has. And they get tiring. When you're trying to help someone and you're like, are they lying to me? Well, when you get to heaven, that's done. What's going on? Why won't they do right? Why won't they just say kind things? Don't worry. Heaven's coming and it'll all be over. Why is it that the television gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse? Don't worry. If there's heaven, if there's television in heaven, I don't know that we'll need it. But if there will, you'll never turn it on and go, oh boy, I better turn it. Won't that be wonderful? I don't foresee us sitting and watching TV all the time in heaven. I think there'll be too much for us to do. I can't wait. Heaven is my home. It's such a important, big thing. If today's a bad day, remember, your hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We got hope. And real, true hope is in the cross. Remember what I started off by saying? The cross changes four-letter words. I'm done with hope. Next week we're going to start Galatians. But the cross changes four-letter words. It changes your mouth, so those four-letter words you used before Jesus, now you're using different kinds of four-letter words, like hope. And I guess mercy isn't a four-letter word, or grace isn't a four-letter word, but whatever. He changes your vocabulary. But he also changes the meaning of, on the cross, he changed the meaning of words like mercy and grace and hope. Our hope isn't just in our relationships down here. Our hope is up there. So take your eyes and quit looking this direction and look up there. I know we as we're walking this road, we need to be vigilant to look for those who are lost and dying, but we need to take their eyes, their focus, and say, hey, stop looking on yourself, stop looking on your sin, and look up to the Savior, the resurrected Lord. I'm kind of wondering, this is just a personal thought. I know that when we deal with a sinner, And we need to, we talk about bringing them to the cross of Jesus where our sins are paid for. I think that's only part of it. Because I think we need to bring them to the cross where Jesus paid for their sins. But we can't leave out the resurrection and the hope of because He conquered sin and grave and death and hell, we can go to heaven to be with Him forever. It's a package deal. The cross and the blood and the resurrection, it all ties into Jesus Christ is our risen Lord. And I'm so, that gives us, that should, the whole thing should give us hope. Our salvation starts at the cross and it carries through right up to heaven. Praise the Lord for His resurrection. One day we're going to go to be with Him forever. That gives us hope. Let's pray. God, I thank You for hope. And Lord, as I look around, tonight I see so many believers who've been living this life for a long time. They love You so much. Lord, just remind us of that hope that we've got as an anchor for the soul. And as we're drifting around this world, and as we're living this life, pray that You'll help us to come back to where we need to be. To not be a rowboat that's just kind of drifting out there, but to stay anchored to where we ought to be. Our hope is built in Jesus' blood and righteousness. Thank You for the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn in our hymnals to